Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College Podcast. As a Bible college, our primary emphasis in every program is on the Word of God. It's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day living and forget the importance of the work of the Word. In our episode today, Brother Robert K. Rodenbush reminds us of the importance of magnifying the Word. On February 1st, 2019, we are going to be doing just that, magnifying Jesus at IBC Live 2019. Tickets are available now at indianabiblecollege.org/IBC Live. Don't worry, we'll drop a link to this page in the show notes for you. Be sure and check that out sooner rather than later because seats are selling fast. Right now, for the Robert K. Rodenbush, magnify the Word.
It's always a great honor to stand in a pulpit and have the opportunity to deliver the Word of the Lord. IBC, you had a lot of choices, a lot of decisions that you've made. But you will be better for being here. Always remember that. I want to thank the staff. I want to thank student council officers. And I want to also thank especially the Missions Club folks who made everything so wonderful a couple weeks ago for our missions conference. Let's thank them one more time. I want to thank Pastor, and I want to thank my son and everyone who's made it possible for me to have a little part in Indiana Bible College. And I especially want to thank my wife because she really keeps me energized and keeps me going, and I appreciate that so very, very much. Guys, find a good one and do whatever you can to make it work. Amen? Thank you. Would you stand for the reading of the Word? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Before I read the scripture, I want to say one more time, always remember to finish what you start. Always remember to finish what you start. From the word of the Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. This morning I want to talk to you about the importance of magnifying the Word. God bless you. You may be seated. As you have noticed, there are a couple of Bibles up here on this little table, and I have many Bibles. Many of them are in several different languages, but I brought two of my most prized Bibles with me today. This Bible is a Bible that Sister Rodenbush's late father, who was a pastor, a preacher, and a mentor for me. In this Bible, there are sermon notes, there are scriptures underlined and circled, and all kinds of little directions and arrows and signs of things that he has preached. It's almost coming to pieces, but it means a lot to me. The Word of God means a lot to me. This Bible is about 200 years old. And it is one of the oldest that I've ever seen. And it has special meaning to me because it was purchased by a missionary in England, and he gave it to me as a personal gift, and I appreciate it very, very much. These two Bibles are important because they're old and because whom they have belonged to. However, they are even more valuable because they contain the inspired Word of God. A few years ago, Vince Lombardi was the coach of the Green Bay Packers. It was a very interesting time in his life and in the life of the Green Bay Packers football team. And he called a solemn assembly of his team into the locker room. And he said, "We have a problem. We're on a losing streak. We're not doing well." So he held up a football and he said, "Men, this is a football. It starts with this football and it ends with this football. IBC, students and staff, this is a Bible. This is where it all starts in this book, and it all ends in this book. This is our book. This is the Bible, the Holy Word of God. It's our instruction, our inspiration, our direction, our hope, our strength. This book is from the beginning, and its righteous judgments endure forever." As future preachers and teachers, it's important that we are responsible to teach this Bible diligently. We need to be talking about this book, thinking about this book, reading this book. When we're walking, think about this book. When we're talking, think about this book. When we're teaching, think about this book. When we're preaching, think about this book. Wherever we are, we need to have the Word of God in our hearts. I just think now, every now and then, that we need to step back and ask ourselves, why do we give this book such an amazing place of authority in the church and in our lives? Why do we put such great faith and such awesome trust in this book? Why do we talk about this book as though it is the Word of God Himself? Why do we obey this book? More often than not, we need to remember how important the Word of God is. And we oftentimes should reevaluate how important it is to us collectively and personally. Have you ever stopped to realize without this book, without this Bible, without your Bible, without a Bible, you wouldn't be in the church today? You wouldn't be on your way to heaven. We wouldn't even be having chapel today if it were not for this book. This is not an ordinary book. It was written over a period of 1,600 years, 16 centuries of time. It was written by a king on his throne and a shepherd in his field. It was written by poets, philosophers, soldiers, businessmen, physicians, fishermen, apostles, prophets, and priests. It was written in palaces. It was written in dungeons, tents, and jails, in cities, and in the desert. It was written by 40 different people who were anointed, inspired by God Himself to put His word on tablets of clay. And today we have the Bible. This is an amazing story in itself. And though many have tried for centuries to discredit the Bible, it remains undisputed in form and in content. Ladies and gentlemen, students and staff of Indiana Bible College, this is a Bible. It starts with this book and it ends with this book. Many have tried through the centuries to prove the Bible wrong, and they've ended up themselves becoming believers, because in the end, they have to admit the Bible is the most amazing book ever written. Just to remind you, the Bible was the first book printed on a printing press. It has been translated into more languages than any other book ever written. Even in the 21st century, the Bible, the Holy Bible, is still the most best-selling book of all the books ever published, with over 100 million Bibles sold every year. That deserves an applause. Over 100 million every year. I've come to declare today it's a precious book. It's a powerful book. It is from the beginning, and its righteous judgments endureth forever. It's an amazing book. And this book, you will find pre-written records of events that were foretold generations before they happened. It's in the book. Wise men seeking him that was born the king of the Jews located him in the prophecies before they found him in Bethlehem. Before John the Baptist was seen and heard on the banks of the Jordan, he was recorded years before in the prophecy of Malachi. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way for me. The disciples witnessed the celebrated ride of Jesus in Jerusalem on the donkey amid the shouts of all the people. Zechariah foretold that centuries before, 427 years before this happened. It's in the book. Even in the 21st century, scientists are often amazed at the accuracy of the Bible. Scientific discoveries now say this: the earth above our earth is empty. The Bible told this fact over 3,000 years ago in the book of Job, chapter 26, verse 7. Air has weight. The Bible said this more than 3,000 years ago in Job chapter 28. Scientists now declare the earth must balance. The Bible gave this information over 2,650 years ago in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Stars do not deviate in their courses. The Bible revealed this fact 3,000 years ago in this phrase in Judges 5, verse 20, the stars in their course. The sand keeps the ocean in. The Bible had already told us this in Jeremiah 5 and 22. It's all in this book. In the Old Testament alone, there are over 2,000 prophecies that have already come to pass. In the end, God's word is absolutely undisputable. And if you're going to build your life on something, build it on the book called the Bible. If you're ever going to believe anything, believe the Bible. If you're ever going to pass anything down to your next generation, pass this book down with truth. Pass this book with love for the book down to your generation. A great price has been paid for us to have a book like this and a book like this and a Bible like this. For me to have this Bible in the English language, men gave their lives that we could have the Bible. In 1553, Queen Mary came to the throne of England. Most of you already know she was often called Bloody Mary because she had as many as 300 people killed whom she called heretics. They were burned at the stake. Among them were William Tyndale and John Rogers, who were burned at the stake for translating the Bible into the English language. John Rogers was thrown in prison for 18 months. His wife was expecting, and when he was arrested and she gave birth, and they didn't even tell him that your child has been born. Finally, they came for John Rogers. There were hundreds of people who lined the streets that day. And among all of those was his wife, shedding tears, and their children, and she was holding their newborn in her arms. That was the first time he saw this new child. And so the sheriff came and gave John Rogers one more opportunity to recant his stand about the Bible. I cannot imagine the agony that his family must have had at that moment. And this is what he said back, knowing he was facing death. That which I have preached, I will seal with my blood. Every once in a while, in every generation, there has to be some men and women who will sell out completely for the Word of God. I think there are some men and women in this chapel this morning who are willing to give their life for the Word of God. Somebody has got to do it. Somebody will do it. It might as well be you. So how much do we love the Word of God? So they tied him to a pole, stacked wood all around him, and lit the fire. And it wasn't long before his body was engulfed in flames. A great price has been paid that you and I can have this book. So here's the question. How important is the Bible to us? And how much do we really love this book? How many Bibles do we have in here this morning? Well, a few. Thank you. No other book in the history of mankind on earth has been so attacked throughout the ages as the Bible. The truth is, the Bible is under attack today in our own country. The first step against the Bible happened in 1962, 1963, when there were three decisions that were made. The Supreme Court decided to remove the Bible and prayer from our public schools. No one ever thought that that could happen in our country, but it did. And unfortunately, after a brief uproar, most people got used to the idea. Since then, a movement has been started to put the Bible back in school libraries. But notice, those people who are willing for it to be maybe put back, they don't want it to be restored as the Word of God. They want it to be placed there as a piece of literature. This totally strips away its righteous standing and places the Bible in the category of historical literature. I'm just here this morning to remind you one more time, this is not just another piece of literature. It's not just another piece of history. It's not just another piece of religious history. It is the Word of God given to mankind for salvation, giving them a choice to spend eternity in heaven rather than to burn in hell. And why doesn't somebody around here preach a little more about hell and what's going to happen if you don't believe this book and obey this book and live by this book and preach this book and teach this book? In fact, those people who have been against it, they're trying to get it digitally burned and removed from everybody's reading list. But there's something inside of me that stirs every time I hear somebody, it doesn't matter who it is, that's disrespectful to the Word of God. How much do we really value our holy book? What price would we be willing to pay for the Bible? In the late 1930s, Frank Wheeler, his wife, and his son David sailed to China as Apostolic Oneness Jesus Name missionaries to China. They weren't there too many years until war broke out and eventually communist guard began to take control of China and they had to leave. But while they were there, they planted a few house churches and they won several men and women to the truth of the apostolic message. And one of those preachers that they mentored and won to the Lord, established in the Word of God, was a man by the name of Lee Keen. And so when the Wheelers left, Brother Keen still had a Bible, but he knew that he wasn't going to have a Bible much longer, because everywhere they were going, they were confiscating and burning Bibles and putting people in prison for owning a Bible or even reading a Bible. Who here would be willing to go to prison for reading or owning a Bible? Eventually, Brother Keene was arrested and he was put in a prison camp. The Wheeler family never heard from him again. They assumed that he was either dead or had died somehow or another through all of this. He was in prison for 20 years. Eventually, he was released from prison. And eventually, he was able to get a message out of China to Hong Kong. And then the missionaries there got the message to Frank and David Wheeler in California. And my phone rang in August of 1979, and it was David Wheeler on the phone, and he said, "Brother Rodenbusch, I'm going to try to go to Hong Kong, and I'm going to try to go to China, and I'm going to try to visit and talk with our preacher there, Brother Keene. Would you want to go with me? Would I want to go with you? Yes, I'll go. Sister Rodenbusch will tell you I've always been a little adventuresome." And he said, "Well, we're going to try to take some Bibles in there, but it's against the law to have a Bible in China still today, and it's certainly against the law to carry them into China. Would you be willing to carry Bibles into China?" "Yes! Call me a lawbreaker." So we got there, and we had a few Bibles. How did you do that? We emptied cereal out of the cereal boxes, and we wrapped up Bibles that looked like loaves of bread. We put the Bibles within our clothes, and we got them in there. And we met with Brother Lee, and he could speak a little broken English, and I could speak a little broken English, so we could communicate. I said finally to Brother Wheeler, I said, "Could I ask him a couple questions?" He said, "Sure." I mean, we were in a curio shop. That's the only place we could meet him. We carried the Bibles in a shopping bag, and we'd set them down, and we'd walk away like we're going to buy something. And he would walk around with another shopping bag with a few things in it, and he would set it down, and then he'd pick up the bag that we left, and he would carry them off. I said, "Brother Keene, please explain to me how you were able to make it those 20 years. He said, "Before they took my Bible and before they took the pages of my Bible, I began to memorize scriptures." I said, "How many?" I'm not really sure how many I memorized, but I memorized a lot of scriptures because I knew that probably that would be the only way that I could keep the Word of God in my heart and in my mind. He said, "Brother Rodenbusch, 3 times I was sick unto death. And each time they came to me and they said, 'Mr. Keene, if you will just denounce Christianity and become a member of the Communist Party, we'll get you the best medical treatment that is available.'" And he said, "Brother Rodenbusch, all 3 times I told them, I cannot go against the Word of God. Even if I die in this prison, I must be faithful to the Word of God." After several more questions and conversations, I was ready. Brother Wheeler was ready. The late Brother Urshan was ready. Brother Sism, we were all ready to give the man. Do you need a car? We'll get you a car. Do you need a house? We'll get you a house. Whatever you need, Brother Lee, we'll help you figure out how to get something for you to be able to be more comfortable and to get around. I said, What do you want? He said, Brother Rodenbusch, the only thing I want are Bibles. That's all I want. I would have given him money. I would have given him things. He didn't want money. He didn't want things. He wanted the Word of God. The Word of God. So we kept bringing him Bibles. One time we were taking Bibles into China. Several dignitaries are with us. My wife was with me and other preachers and their wives. And we got caught. Thank the Lord we didn't get arrested, but we got caught. And they confiscated whatever Bibles they could find that we had. And they put them in one big, like a duffel bag. And they said, when you leave Canton, when you leave China, you can have your Bibles back. So we went there. We did what we were supposed to do and encouraged the believers. And now we're back at the immigration. We passed through all of the inspections and the passport inspection. And there was the man. He was standing right there with this duffel bag of Bibles. And so we're walking up to him. And in his broken English, he said, your Bibles. I said, yes. Do I have to take them? He didn't say anything. What will happen if I don't take them? I just walk on. He didn't say anything. I said, if I leave, will you take them? And he had a short little smile. So we just walked on, knowing that some more people were going to get a Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to reevaluate how important the Bible is to us today. Who knows that someday you or your children, if the Lord tarries, may have somebody knocking on their door and asking you, do you have any Bibles? And what price would we be willing to pay if we have Bibles when it's against the law? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to revere. We need to have a better understanding and appreciation of the Word of God. In our supposedly Christian nation, most children are basically illiterate regarding the Bible. A Yale University student was asked to say something about Golgotha. We all know what Golgotha is, don't we? What is it? What? He said that Golgotha was a giant who slew the Apostle David. In the state of Virginia, high school students in the state of Virginia, high school students could not name three prophets of the Old Testament. And they could not name even three of Jesus' disciples. Another survey was given by a teacher, high school teacher. She asked 94 of her brightest students some questions about the Bible. Here are the results. 60 of the 94 did not know the name of the mother of Jesus. 10 did not know where Christ was born. 90 did not know the Ten Commandments. Several thought Sodom and Gomorrah were lovers. Others said that Eve was created from an apple and Moses baptized Jesus. and that Jezebel was Ahab's donkey. And some people complain if a pastor preaches the word too long, or we have to drive our children to youth service, or feel they have too much homework to go to church. And what about IBC students? This is more than a piece of literature. This is a book that is more than human guesswork. This book is the inspired, holy Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it all starts with this book and it ends with this book. This Bible is a light in a dark world. It's a comfort in a time of trouble. It's a defense against temptation and sin. Is there anybody here besides me who loves this book? How much do we love this book? What price are we willing to pay for this book? Bible is a light. It's the most precious book ever written. If you're going through a heartache, you can find help in the book. If you're weary, you can find strength in the book. If you're overwhelmed, read Psalm 61. The answers are in the Bible. And most important of all, if you want to be saved, if you want to go to heaven, you will find the answer in this book. Most of you have grown up all your life in the church. There may be a few who haven't. I was not raised in the church. I didn't know anything about the Pentecostal experience as it is written in Acts 2:38. At age 12, I started going to a Methodist church in a little town in southern Illinois. All the Illinois people said amen. Wow, that's weak. All of the Illinois people say amen. Amen. Thank you. And the pastor there, he was a unique pastor. He had 20 minutes. I had 45. I'm going to take him. He had 20 minutes to preach on Sunday morning, and the Sunday morning service could only last 1 hour. And he didn't brag on the choir. He didn't give any announcements. In fact, he was reading his text as he was walking to the pulpit. And he was one of those old-time Methodist preachers. By the time he got into his sermon, about 5 minutes, he started preaching about sanctification, how important it was not just to be saved but be sanctified. I don't know how many times I went to the altar in that little Methodist church. Yes, they still had an altar bench. And I was just asking the Lord to sanctify me. Sister Rodenbusch would tell you that she wishes I had gone one more time. But that pastor, he said, Bobby, if you just read the Bible, the Lord will lead you. And then eventually he said, you need to be reading in the New Testament. The Lord will lead you. And then I seem to remember one time he said, have you read the book of Acts? And so one Friday evening, my mom and dad, sister and brother, went somewhere and I stayed home. And the house is still there. And I went upstairs to my bedroom and opened my Bible. And I started reading in the book of Acts. And I got to Acts chapter 10. And I was just reading in Acts chapter 10. Now, you got to remember, nobody ever said to me, would you like to come to the First Apostolic Church? Nobody said to me, have you received the Holy Ghost since you repented? The church was two blocks from my house. What happened to that? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let your light shine. Be courteous, but be intentional. Let your light shine. God had mercy on me. Not one person witnessed to me, but you and I, we need to be witnesses. One of my best friends, his mother was in the Apostolic Church, and she was a godly woman. So I'm kneeling down beside the bed in the upstairs bedroom, and I'm reading in the book of Acts chapter 10. And I've read the part where it said, while yet Peter spake the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And the Spirit touched my heart. And I said, Jesus, is this for me? If this is for me, I want it. I'm going to read this scripture again. So I started reading the scripture again. And when I got to the part where it said, while yet Peter spake the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And immediately I began to praise the Lord, and I started speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And I've been a tongue talker ever since. I don't want one day to go by that I don't pray and talk to the Lord. Feel His presence, feel His power, feel His Spirit. So it scared me so much, and I didn't know where to go or what to do. So later, several months later, I had this friend who lived about a half a block away. And in those days, you could just knock on somebody's door and go in. Say, hey, Bobby or Ronnie, I'm here. You don't do that today, you might get shot. And Ronnie wasn't there. But I heard his mother. And I walked into the dining room, and she was over here, and the bedroom door was closed. But I could tell it was Ronnie's mother. Anybody who's going to listen to this, it was Aunt Ethel. And she was praying, and she was talking in tongues. I knocked on the door. I said, Miss Johnson, it's Bobby. She came to the door, and I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm praying. I said, no, I know you're praying that other stuff. What are you doing? She said, well, I was praying in tongues. I said, yeah, that's it. Did you know I do that almost every day? She said, no, I didn't know. Are you sure? She said, let's pray. So we knelt down at the dining room table, and she started praying, and wasn't long. She was talking in tongues, and I was talking in tongues, and we jumped up, and in comes my friend. My good friend, who had been around apostolics all of his life, came walking in the door, and she said, Ronnie, he's got it. He's got it. She said, he said, what? The Holy Ghost. He got refilled. There's no hope in that neighborhood. No hope in that house. I love this truth. I love this word. I stand here today because a preacher said, Bobby, read the book. Read the Bible. Read the New Testament. Read the book of Acts. You were so right, Reverend. Everything I need is in this book. No matter what your need may be, the answer is in this book. How many Bible quizzers do we have here? You participated in Bible quizzing, raise your hand. Stand up. Hallelujah. The rest of us need to give you a hand. Oh God, thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. There is no other book like this book. His word is precious. His word is? His word is wise. His word is? His word is truth. 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 His word is powerful. Powerful. His word is light. It's life. It's strength. Hope to be spoken, to be heard, to be remembered, to be preached, 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 preached. This Bible has been banned by many nations, burned by others. It's been declared out of date by many, but it's brought salvation and direction. It's life. Life. For whenever the ends of the earth shall come, and everything shall be destroyed by fire and brimstone, his word shall still be settled in heaven. The word of God shall stand forever. What are you going to preach?
The word.
The Bible.
What are you going to preach?
The Bible.
What are you going to preach?
The Bible.
What are you going to preach?
The Bible.
What are you going to live by?
The Bible.
What are you going to live by?
The Bible.
What are you going to preach?
Word of God.
What are you going to preach?
Bible.
What are you going to preach?
The Bible.
What are you going to preach?
The Bible.
It's all about the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. It starts with the Bible. You walk the Bible, you live the Bible, you pray the Bible, you study the Bible, you live the Bible, you die for the Bible. It's all about the Bible. I like to see more Bibles in chapel. I like to see more Bibles in church. I like to see more Bibles open. And I like to see more people preaching the Bible. So let's thank God one more time for the Word of God and for the Holy Bible. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you.
Heard a strong reminder today, and I don't think it would be inappropriate if we took a little bit of time right now and just made a consecration, and we just vowed before God that we're going to stay living the Bible, we're going to stay preaching the Bible, we're going to stay reading the Bible, we're going to stay in the Bible. And I think right now we should just, if you want to come to the front, you can do that. If you want to stay in your seat, you can do that. But let's take some time and let's just hold the reverence of the Bible dear to our heart and consecrate ourselves to the Bible.
The Indiana Bible College Distant Learning Program is ready for you to enroll. Whether you're a minister, a congregation member, or just interested in learning more about the Bible, go check out www.ibcdl.com. There, you'll find out more information about continuing studies, earning an Associate of Arts in Biblical Studies, an additional Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies, degree completion, concurrent studies, and earning certificates. Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today, and the Distant Learning Program makes this training accessible to anyone, anywhere. Again, for more information, visit www.ibcdl.com. Indiana Bible College has three major courses of study: Biblical Studies, Worship Studies, and our newest major, Missiology. For more information about these, visit indianabiblecollege.org. Indiana Bible College, training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today.